life is a highway. And on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Hoosier Football Tailgate on the Believe Network.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Hoosier Football Tailgate is sponsored by Bet Online. Bet Online is where the game starts.
Hello and welcome to the Hoosier Football Tailgate. Happy New Year to one and all those out in the Hoosier Nation as we break upon 2024 and a lot of high hopes this year for the Indiana Hoosiers with Coach Signetti and his staff that are now in full speed of getting themselves ready for winter workouts, as well as formulating a plan for the spring. And tonight we're going to have a young man from Center Grove High School, quarterback Tyler Cherry, going to join us here in a moment. We're going to talk a little bit about his high school career, his path to IU, talk a little bit about Duke and what all entailed in that. But before we get to that, I must thank a couple things here. First, I want to thank Bet Online. Bet Online is a sponsorship here for the Hoosier Football Tailgate on the Believe Network. Really couldn't do it without their support throughout the year as well as the season. Remember, Bet Online is your full stop for all sports wagering, from NBA basketball, college basketball. We got the Bowl Series going on, as well as the Final Four Championship Series heading up here this week, as well as college hoops, NHL hockey. Bet Online has it all. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports wagering. Remember, use the promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for a welcome bonus of 50% on your first deposit. Bet Online is where the game starts. And like I said, we're going to bring on Tyler Cherry here, the senior quarterback, now commit to Indiana University, Mr. Tyler Cherry. Tyler, how are you this evening, my man?
I'm great. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, Coach Grip. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, buddy. I'm glad that we got a chance to get everything lined up, because I know it's a little crazy. You're getting ready to go back to school here. Well, now tell me about what your plans are here, because you're going to be an early enrollee, correct?
Yeah. So actually, I'm moving down and on the campus on January 3rd here in a couple days, and then I'll be starting classes on the 8th.
So you're going to take advantage of graduating early, being involved in all things college football. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think I'm excited to get down there.
Academically speaking, are you ready for the challenges that college life is going to have for you?
I think so. I've always been a pretty good student, so I'm hoping there's not too many struggles right away.
What's your thought process on a major are you going to pursue at Indiana?
Yeah, I'm thinking about trying to get into the Kelly School of Business. My mom actually went through the Kelly School of Business and graduated from IU with the Kelly degree, so that's kind of what I'm thinking as well.
So it's probably safe to say that mom is pretty ecstatic that you're going to Beantown.
Oh, yeah. She loves it.
You know what they say. You got to make mama happy, right?
100%.
When mama's happy, everybody's happy. So I'm sure she's ecstatic about that. And I understand the, you know, getting a degree from the Kelley Business School and what that all entails out there amongst businesses and the world in general. High respects for the Kelley School of Business there at Indiana. And have you got a dorm assignment already?
I think they're figuring out the living situation here shortly. I don't have it 100% figured out yet, but I should know more here in the next.
Okay. Well, I'm sure they'll have it ready for you on January 3rd, and good luck with that. Yeah. I mean, you're going into right into the fire den, so to speak, academically, college student, athlete, what all that entails. And it's a very exciting time because I know you're pumped to do that. So let's go back. Let's go back a little bit here. High school career, because it's hard not to talk about your high school career. Now, you would have been a freshman, Taven Jackson's what, senior year?
I was a freshman his junior, a sophomore his senior year.
Okay, so you were a part of the program those 2 years. Yep. He was there. So you guys had some type of, at least a friendship back in those mm-hmm. days, correct? Okay.
Yeah, no, I loved learning a lot from Taven just growing up. I mean, as a freshman and sophomore, seeing a guy in front of you that was like Taven going D1, you tried to learn as much as you could from him and take as much as you could every single day in practice.
And absolutely. And you were coached by Coach Moore, correct?
Yeah.
In his staff. And then was it Coach Siderwich, your quarterback coach? Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Well, all those guys, tons of respect for them. Now, Center Grove, back in the day, Coach Moore was really known for the wing tee. Mm-hmm. You know, that was his, you know, his philosophy on offense. And you guys really didn't start coming out of that, really. Probably Taylor, Taven's junior year, maybe. Was that the start mm-hmm. where you kind of opened it up a little bit more? Yeah,
going to a more spread offense, I'd say, seeing Taven coming through and then me coming in next, they saw we could open it up a little bit more, yeah.
Yeah, because I know he was a very, very, really good coach with the wing tee, and a lot of teams would, you know, he would clinic with because of his knowledge of the wing tee offense. And let's be honest here, the spread offense, there's a lot of common ground with the wing tee, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, 100% agree.
Yeah, because you guys probably got to catch a lot of those plays that you would have ran from under the center or whatever wing tee that you could also implement in the spread gun, correct?
Yeah, lots of same inside zone reads, a lot of the same run scheme
there. Yeah. So you were you a backup to Taven both those years, your freshman and sophomore year?
Yep, both years.
Yeah, because I know you played a little bit your sophomore year. I think you got through 11 passes and something to that magnitude. You know, being a backup to a talented individual like Taven, I think you said you like to learn a lot from him, and you probably got the benefit of some of the growing pains that you guys had going to that spread offense from a wing tee concept. Would that be a fair assessment?
No, yeah, 100%. I think being that in that backup role, just learning through all that, and also being the scout team quarterback those couple of years, playing against the defense that we had those 2 years was definitely crazy. Those I never played anyone as good as that defense those couple of years. I think we had 7 or 8 Division I defensive players those 2 years. So I think that's something that helped me in my development as well, going against such good guys at such a young age. That really helped me.
Well, yeah, you know, that's the one thing that in the development of a quarterback, when you have a defense that is talented, like your defense is there at Center Grove, you're not going to get any better look than those guys across from you week in, week out with, you know, the corners and safeties that you guys probably played with and linebackers. So, I mean, that was an important facet of your development growing up. Now, coming off your sophomore year, when did you really start getting into the swing of, okay, it's my time to take over and, you know, try to be the number one guy? Did you, I mean, what did you do to prepare yourself for that junior year?
Yeah, I could kind of see how it was shaping up there. It was going to be my turn for my junior and senior year. So after my freshman year, I played football, baseball, and basketball my whole life up through freshman year. And then after that, I really shut down and just played football. So I took that next offseason very seriously. I really got into football, just football, lots of strength and conditioning training, throwing more and all that. So I could see it lining up that way. I knew it was my best opportunity. And I really stuck with football that next offseason.
Now, did you go out to any, I guess you would call it, you know, up here in Fort Wayne, they have OPS and some of the other entities that work on development of players, you know, different, you know, agility work as well as quarterback mechanics and stuff. Did you do any of that down there in Indy?
You know, Coach Moore does a really good job as also being the track coach. He gets the football guys in there with the track team and doing the track workouts. So I did a lot of my agility stuff through that, but I didn't really find a quarterback coach until going into my senior year. So I started working with a guy named Coach Grant Cameron. He works at a major sports performance in Avon, Indiana. And Coach Schneiderwitz, my quarterback coach at the high school, had done a great job just all the way growing up from eighth grade. I mean, even second grade, he knew who I was. So going all the way up through eighth grade and through high school, he was on main development with my quarterback fundamentals and all that. He sends me videos of myself throwing almost every other day. So just having coaches like that is pretty special. Just Coach Moore in the track program and Coach Schneider was just with my quarterback stuff.
So your development really started probably when you started playing seventh, eighth grade football there. Would that be, yeah. I mean, because you said that Coach Seiderwitz had known about you since second grade. So they were quite aware of your talents at that time.
Yeah. Just with the Bantam program down here in Center Grove, you start at second grade, you're running the wing T offense and getting familiar with the same high school offense that you're going to run. So you're getting built and ready for it ever since second grade, preparing. And then seventh and eighth grade, we have two separate middle schools. So we split up there, but back in freshman year, the coaches get their hands on you. It's full development from there on.
And then you said you worked a little bit with Coach Cameron. Is that what you said?
Yeah, going into my senior year, I worked with Coach Cam. I just wanted to do a little more just to try and prepare myself and even better myself a little farther and keep doing more than what I'd done the year before. So I found Coach Cam going into my senior year.
Now, did you go to any of the Bishop Delahan camps that are very well known throughout the state of Indiana and Ohio now? Back in the day, those were very, very prominent football camps in the summer. A lot of kids attended. I worked it. I was a camper at one time. Did you ever go to a Bishop Delahan camp growing up?
No, I never went to any of those. I went to one in Ohio. It was an all-state, I think it was called Coach Sink's all-state showcase. It was a lot of Midwestern guys, and I went and competed at that one in Ohio.
What was Coach Cameron, I mean, what were you getting from Coach Cameron? You know, what was those things that he was working on with you for the most part heading into that senior season?
Yeah, no, Coach Schneiderwitz did a great job just with my basic fundamentals and everything. And going into that senior year, I had a pretty good base work of everything I needed, but it was really just polishing up everything that I needed to polish, you know, just quickly. Mm-hmm. All that stuff, shorten the stride a little bit. And those were just the main things. He didn't want to change much, just keep me sharp and polished heading into the year.
Okay. Well, let's talk about your junior year, because that culminated with the state championship over the Carroll Chargers from up here in the Fort Wayne area. And I was telling you before we came on, you know, I do coverage of high school football in Northeast Indiana. Actually, I have a podcast with another gentleman called Upon Further Review that covers Northeast Indiana football. And then I do color commentary on radio up here. So I got to see you guys play Carroll, and they had a pretty good quarterback, Jimmy Sullivan, who just made a commitment to Iowa. So yes. Talk about your junior season. I mean, for you, you know, you completed, I think you almost threw for 2,300 yards. You completed about 65% of your passes, 22 touchdowns on the year. Talk about that junior season and the magical aspect of getting a state title.
Yeah, going into that junior year, we were bound to be going back to state again. We'd won the last two, and we were projected number one again going into the season. So stepping in as a new quarterback, you know, so you take some of that onto your shoulders and stuff. But I think just the offensive line and the guys I was surrounded with that junior year was pretty special. Having a running back like Micah Coyle, the Mr. Football for that season. He was outstanding just every single game. You hand him the ball, he's going for five almost every single time he touches it. But just playing with some of those guys was special. You know, week one, we lost Drew Wheat. He was one of the Mr. Football projections for the year. Losing our coming back number one running back was definitely a little scary on the first drive of the season. But, you know, we bounced back and Noah Coy, wide receiver, stepped up his junior year and also had a great senior year. But just having those guys surrounding me, the veterans that had played 2-3 years there at Center Grove, was definitely something that helped me in going through the season. But I think once it came down to the playoffs and stuff, we really turned it on. We just had a great run there through the sectional, regional, semi-state. And once we made it to state, we were fired up and ready to go for that game, going for the three-peat. And, you know, we took care of business and it was a great time. So I couldn't be more excited about how that season went.
Yeah, that game, like you said, culminated with the state championship. I believe it was a 39-6 ball game, if memory serves me correct. Now, it's been a couple of years for this old man. But what I remember seeing of you as a junior was, A, your mechanics were, you know, on point, your accuracy was on point, your ability to throw the long ball with some, you know, getting air underneath it. That's the one thing that I see quarterbacks make the biggest mistakes, is when they're throwing the ball deep, they're not giving their wide receivers basically a chance to run underneath it by getting air underneath it. Cause I always tell them, you can never throw it far enough up in the air, because you want to give your wide receiver that opportunity to run under it and make an easy catch. You know, if you're not throwing it, I call it a three ball. Some people may differ, but if you're throwing a two ball or something in between on a deep ball, that's a tough catch for those guys to make. But I thought you had all the abilities in that ball game that really Carroll really didn't have an answer in that ball game. And then, of course, your defense really shut Carroll down for the most of the night. And Jimmy Sullivan, who was a very prolific passer, like I told you. And they had beaten, I think, Hamilton Southeastern prior to that game down there in the dome. And, you know, it was going to be a great matchup, irregardless of the outcome. And when I first got the chance to see you, I mean, of course, people talked about you, but when you saw you in place, I was very impressed with you. Now, junior year's over. I would imagine that's when the recruiting started picking up for.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that the U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut. If you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, afoxolaner, moxidectin, and pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
Jake from State Farm here, hanging out with Mel's Mow & Grow. Mel chose State Farm for small business insurance because his local agent is a small business owner too. So she knew how to help him personalize his policies. And now, he's rolling in the green. Like a good neighbor. Guys, I'm trying to do the line.
Oh, sorry, Jake.
It's all good. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to an agent today.
Yeah, a little bit. Talk about some of that in the, you know, the multitude of, you know, mail coming in the doorway every day. You know, kind of what was that like for you?
Yeah, after that junior season, got my highlight tape put together, got that put out on social media and stuff, hoping for some coaches to see it. I didn't hear much right away, but once we got going, I'd say in January with our winter workouts again, there was flood of coaches coming through to watch me throw and stuff. Like you said, lots of mail coming through, and it picked up really fast after Coach Walt Bell from Indiana offered me. That was my first offer, so Indiana's always held a special place. So after that offer, it kind of blew up. It was pretty fast and furious after that. And lots of coaches, like I said, coming through to the school just to sit down and talk, pulling me out of class, watching me throw. Took a couple visits that spring. Spring was kind of the big time for me in my junior year recruiting. That's when I got out to see a lot of the places. But
Was it overwhelming? I'm sorry to interrupt you there. Was it any time become overwhelming for you? And mom and dad, for that matter of fact. I mean, you know, like you said, it really picked up in January and February, and all of a sudden you went from probably getting very little to wham, all of a sudden you're getting mail after mail and you're throwing every day and this guy's coming in. I mean, did it ever get overwhelming for you and your mom and dad?
I don't think it got very overwhelming. It's everything I ever asked for, you know, just wanted to be
well, right. Yeah. Yeah.
Ball player is something that I'd always dreamed of, so I think it was really special at the start, but it definitely got to be a lot, you know, just with the amount of people coming through. I mean, at one point there's probably 8 coaches standing there watching you throw. It's like, oh man, let's stay sharp here and keep going after one of Coach Moore's hard work.
No ducks, right?
No
quackers.
Yeah. I think it got a little stressful when we had to travel quite a bit. We took a lot of trips. We went out to Pittsburgh and Illinois and just a lot of those back and forth trips that were very short at home time, just like one day home and off again, you know. I think that's when it got a little bit stressful, but you couldn't have asked for anything better there.
And then how about with mom and dad? How did they handle the multitude of phone calls, you know, letters? And like you said, everybody wants to be recruited, you know, but they don't understand what that really means to an extent. I mean, even moms and dads, they want to see their sons or daughters be recruited. But when it comes in a full flurry like yours did, I mean, how did that all, you know, with them and everything, how did that impact them as well?
Yeah, they definitely helped me a lot through it. I give a lot of props to them, helping me get through it and helping me make the best decision for myself. You know, my mom likes to write down lots of notes. She'd listen in on the phone calls, write down the coach's name, write down where they're from, a little background information, just so we have a general understanding of who this person is and what they're all about the next time they text or out. But they definitely supported me and helped me through it all, taking me to the places I wanted to see, and definitely did a great job supporting and talking to the coaches as well as they needed to.
Good. And I think that's important. The reason why I bring that up, Tyler, there's going to be other kids out there like yourself and parents out there that may watch this and say, okay, what did Tyler Cherry's mom and dad do? And I think what you said there was very important. Your mom actually, you know, listened into conversations to understand who you were talking to and what they were about. And then what they were able to answer, you know, have their questions ready when you, you know, if you went to a visit with them or not. So that in itself is very important. Now, did you make any commitment prior to your senior year? I can't remember.
Yeah, I made my commitment to Duke. I think it was early to late May. I think it was May 20th. Okay.
Was it your timetable that you wanted to, you know, I want to make a commitment so I could focus on my senior year? What was that? I mean, that decision to commit to Duke, and why Duke?
Yeah, no, with quarterbacks, I mean, most schools only take one. So the spots are there and then they can be gone the next day. Mm-hmm. So they're going to take one guy, and you got to jump on a spot that you feels right. And once it feels right, I think it's a good idea to go ahead and hop on that and stay committed there. So that was my timetable. I wanted to have it figured out in a reasonable time going into my senior year before the summer and stuff. I wanted to have it figured out so I could just really focus in with my team and my teammates and not be worrying about all the other distractions of coaches and taking visits. But I just wanted to be there with my last year with my brothers and stuff, the guys I've grown up with. So that was kind of another reason in my timetable, but Duke, it just felt special. Coach Elko was building something great there. What he had done in the 1 to 2 years that he'd been there is something that Duke football had never seen before. I built an amazing relationship with Coach Kevin Johns. He was the quarterback coach I kind of loved learning about him, and was really impressed with his background and what he had done. The development of some of the quarterbacks that he had been around is pretty special and cool to look at. But he's just a great person overall. He was kind of like a dad to me going through the process. You know, he's someone that your parents want you to go and play for, and know that going to North Carolina 9 hours away, you're going to be taken care of by this person. And, you know, Coach Johns, just after that whole thing went down, that's the one I was holding on to. And once they let go of him, it was tough to see him go.
Well, I can attest to Coach Kevin Johns, know him quite well, not just from my days in coaching, but he was the one that recruited my son Isaac to Indiana. So when you talk of some of the things that impressed you about Kevin, I can vouch, you know, wholeheartedly with that assessment of him, and him being a family man, great family, very into it. And I guarantee it, I could see where your mom and dad would feel comfortable you going down, down to Carolina with somebody like Kevin Johns to, you know, to kind of look over you. Now, we'll come back to the Duke thing a little bit later. Let's go into your senior season now. Now you've won it state finals three in a row, right? You've had a three-peat at the state finals, correct? Mm-hmm. Going into your senior year. You know, you're coming off a senior year where you threw for almost 2,300 yards, 22 touchdowns. All of a sudden, you know, there's an immense amount of other pressure that comes on you now, because you are the guy, you are the quote unquote four-star, five-star, big time recruit. How was that preparation for you going into that senior year, you know, in the, you know, July, you know, August, you know, leading up to the start of the season? How did you, you know, how did you handle that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there's always going to be stars and ratings and all that and all these articles and stuff posted, but I like to stay pretty level grounded. I like to stay with my guys and not worry about that stuff. I don't like to let it just kind of get into what we're doing. I think Center Grove is a really special program, and I think it's a team basis. It's not one guy. Right. So I just think being surrounded with the coaching staff that we have and the players that I got to play with this last year was awesome. So going into the summer, we knew we had another chance to play and go for another state title. So we just really focused in on ourselves, and I didn't want to be the guy that's out there looking at everything else. I just really stayed in and focused with my teammates.
And I think from what I'm hearing from you, that you felt like Coach Moore, Coach Seidewitz, and even mom and dad to a certain extent, you know, kept you grounded. Is that a fair assessment? You were comfortable in your own skin. You were grounded. Your focus was your senior year, enjoying it, being the best that you could be, and not worrying about all the hype stuff on the outside.
Yeah, no, 100%. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay. Well, that's the reason why Coach Moore is an excellent football coach, and Coach Seidewitz is an excellent football coach there at Center Grove. There's guys that have been through this process 100 times and, you know, can help you through that and keep you grounded in the process and all that. So you go in your senior year, and what can I say? You know, you throw for over 3,000 yards, very impressive, 62% completion percentage, and that's just phenomenal. 34 touchdowns on the year. I mean, why didn't you throw for 40? talk about that year, because you went into the state tournament, you had lost one game, correct? Mm-hmm. Prior to getting into the state, and refresh my memory, who did you lose to? Because you guys play in a tough conference now. This is not something you just show up Friday nights and, you know, walk your way through it.
Yeah, something going into this senior that was different. We actually got removed from the MIC conference that we've played in for all these years. And
that's so right.
We're playing a national schedule now. We're playing one of the hardest schedules in the country coming into my senior year. So I think that also sparked our preparation over the summer.
I had forgotten really all about that. So yeah. Let's go back and kind of set that up. Your success as a football program basically led to your conference saying, thanks, but no thanks. We'll see you later. Kind of something that Carmel actually went through too, if I'm not mistaken. Uh-huh. So now you guys are scrambling for games and you're playing, like you said, a national schedule.
Yeah.
That just adds another element to the party, you know, because you know, talk about some of the teams that you got to play your senior year.
Yeah. So at one point in the offseason, we had like 5 or 6 games scheduled and that was it. So we were a little worried. We're coming in. So, I mean, our athletic directors did a great job finding these teams. And, you know, these are big time teams. We played the first game of the year in Canton, Ohio at the Hall of Fame Classic. It was a game out there. We played St. Edward's over in Ohio. They're actually 3-peat state champions now in their Division I. So they were the back-to-back state champs and we were the 3-time defending state champs. So that was kind of a big game, kind of hyped up game. Week 1, that was our only loss. Going into the playoffs and stuff. So we were 11-1 going into the playoffs, and that was our one loss. So I think we had 5 or 6 out-of-state teams out of the 9 regular season games. So we played St. Edward's week 1. Week 2, we played Oakland from Tennessee. They were the 3-time defending state champs in the highest class down there, and we beat them. Week 3, we played Archbishop Moeller, if I'm not mistaken. That was either week 3.
Here, I'm going to help you along because I know this has been a little while ago. You played Trinity out of Louisville, okay. Which is yep. Another top program. Then you play Archbishop Moeller.
Yep.
At Moeller, was it? Was that at Moeller?
It was called the Patriot Classic. They had like Joey Chestnut there, lots of fun stuff. It was all set up with a bunch of American flags. It was a pretty cool experience.
In that game, you won in overtime 35-34.
Yep.
Harvest Prep. Now, I've never heard of Harvest Prep, so you're going to have to enlighten me on that one.
Yeah, they're from Ohio. They're actually a smaller division school. I think they're a lower division in Ohio, but they hadn't lost a game in 2 or 3 years either. So they had been undefeated for 2 to 3 years, and then we knocked them off. And I think they ended up making it to their semifinals or their state finals this year as well.
Yeah, that was a game you won 36-18. Now you get to come back and you start to play some teams that you guys have familiarity with. Lawrence Central, Pike, Cathedral, 45-38, and Cathedral had another phenomenal year. Franklin Central, Columbus North, Warren Central, you beat 14-0. I their defense was stellar. And that game, that would have been what, the semi-state?
That would have been regional.
Regional. Okay, regional. So, you know, that schedule alone, that's a pretty tough deal right there.
Yeah, I just think going into that senior year, we knew we were going to be playing the best competition in the nation. So we had to take it really serious and really focus in as a team. And we could have gone 0-4 and 5 in those first weeks. But after we lost that first game, no one really had much expectations for us after that. They thought we were done. They kind of had written Center Grove off, but we bounced back there and had won 11 straight games, which was really, really impressive.
So the game that you battled Ben Davis for would have been the semi-state, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And Ben Davis this year was kind of one of those teams that would always surprise you, right? I mean, there was games where you looked at him like, man, they really struggled against him. They really should have throttled. And then they would sneak up and beat somebody that you didn't expect them to. That game with you guys, 37-34. Talk about that game from your perspective. Now, I don't want to bring up bad memories. But I mean, it is a common knowledge that you kind of remember that last couple games you played of your senior year. And talk about the Ben Davis game. You guys lost by 3.
Yeah, that game, there were so many highs and lows in that game. I mean, we were up 10-7 at half. It was kind of a slow kind of just kind of working into the game, feeling it out a little bit at half. I think our first drive, we had like a 23 or 24 play drive. We were like, man, we've ran every single play in our playbook almost on the first drive of the game. So it was 10-7 at half, and coming out, we struggled right away. We had a turnover, and then they ended up going 28-10 with 3 minutes left in the third quarter. So it was a big swing there. So we were down. I mean, everyone's down and out. And we just made a ton of big plays there going into the fourth quarter. We weren't going to go down easy. Like they said, after the champion's not going to die easy, they're going to die hard. So we went down with a fight. I was really proud of the way that we came back from that 28-10. We ended up taking the lead there in the fourth quarter at one point before they went down and kicked a field goal to tie it up 31-28. We had the lead. Just bouncing back the way we did, I was just really proud of my teammates and how we stuck together and fought till the very end. And they made one more big play than we did, and they definitely deserved to win that game.
And that was at Ben Davis, and it's not an easy place to play. And, you know, those are the type of games, like you said, hey, two really good football teams. And if you played that game 10 times, you probably both win 5. You know, that's probably the type of it. So now season's over. You've kind of settled on Duke. You win Mr. Football, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Now talk about that feeling. You are the top player in Indiana. What does it feel like for you being acknowledged that way? You put a lot of work and time into it. Do you feel that kind of helps validate you in terms of what your mindset was from the time you were a junior all the way through?
Yeah, definitely. That was always a goal of mine was to be in the Mr. Football race. And I actually didn't win Mr. Football overall. I won the quarterback Mr. Football position award. But just knowing that they would choose me as the top quarterback is something that's really special. That's something that I'd always wanted to be and worked for, like seeing the guys in front of me, like Carson Steele and Caden Curry and Micah Coyle. Those were the 3 or 4 years that I've been at Center Grove. We'd had one of those guys. So when it was my turn, I wanted to step up and be that guy. So I was really thankful and blessed to be in that position and I couldn't have done it without my teammates. You know, they did a great job all year supporting me and helping me get to where I was able to be and put in that position.
Absolutely. And thanks for the clarification there, because I did say Mr. Football. I meant to say the quarterback, Mr. Football. And the common theme there that I totally appreciate, you know, you got there because of the guys that were around you. You had really good football players around you, wide receiver, running back, your offensive line, that enabled you to do some of the things that you were able to do. If I had to ask you a question, classify your style of quarterback. How do you see yourself as a quarterback?
Yeah, I'd say I'm a pro style guy. I'll hang in the pocket as long as I can. I wouldn't say I'm a true dual threat runner guy, but I can definitely make some plays with my legs when I need to. Really good pocket awareness, strong arm guy that's really smart and is going to be able to ID the defense no matter what.
Yeah, and I think that's the one thing that goes hand in hand with being a quarterback. We always look, when I was a quarterback coach at Ball State and I was evaluating quarterbacks, I always evaluated their accuracy. And that's why when I say you completed 72%, I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Yeah. I don't care what type of throws you're making, you're accurate with the ball. I look for accuracy in some cases more than arm strength, you know, mm-hmm. because I think the accurate quarterback, you have to be accurate with your throws. No question about it. Then the mental side of it, how do you prep for your games? Do you understand, you know, what you talked about, ID and defense, understanding coverage and all those things? You come from a program that went from running the ball quite a bit to now you're throwing it quite a bit. And you had some of the great, good coaches around you, Coach Seiderwitz, who I'm sure helped you in a ton of ways, gravitating into that role.
Yeah, no, I have to give all the props to Coach Seiderwitz, like you said. He does a great job. He loves football. That's if he could do football, mm-hmm. that's all he would do. So we're watching film every single day in school during class. There's a period where you can go into a teacher's classroom and I'd pick Coach Seiderwitz and we'd go over film every single day during the week. So we'd do that and then we'd watch it again before practice and then watch it that night when we got home from practice. He'd be sending me a text if I'd seen what he saw. So I think just Coach Seiderwitz just preparing me through the week. He deserves a lot of credit. Him and his son Joey Seiderwitz, they're kind of a good duo there in the quarterback room. So just learning from those guys and taking as much as I can from them. That's really the main prep that we did. He would come up with a scouting report, share it to us, and we'd be looking at it on Sunday nights before the week even started.
Okay, we're going to progress here. You know, the season's over. Okay, the accolades are there. You know, you earned those. And now you made your commitment to Duke. So your mindset is, I want to finish up, because your intentions was to roll there early, correct? Too.
Yeah.
Okay. And so your thought process is, I'm going to, you know, go to Duke here and be an early enrollee. Then the wheels kind of fell off. What? Talk to me about when Coach Elko left and went to an A&M. What was the communication for you? I mean, were they in constant communication with you? Were there, you know, this uncertainty around it, or just kind of fill us in and that kind of all of a sudden everything changed on a dime?
Yeah. So there were lots of rumors. I mean, Coach Elko definitely deserved to be in position to take these big time head coaching jobs. There were lots of rumors about him leaving Texas A&M, Michigan State. I'd been seeing stuff on social media, but I hadn't said much to the coaching staff, just letting me finish up my season and them finish up their season. I hadn't heard much, but I'd been in a lot of communication with, I talked to Coach Johns almost every other day. Coach Elko, not as much. I would reach out. We would talk every once a week, probably. But the last I heard from him, he was still locked in with Duke. So when we saw him go, it was definitely a shock to my family, and I know the rest of the recruits that were going to Duke. So we were all surprised by that. But we knew he definitely deserved that job, and he's going to do great things there at Texas A&M with the other coaches he brought with him. So I'm happy for those guys and their new positions. But Coach Johns, they held on to him a little bit longer. Finding the new coach Diaz from Penn State. Once they found him, I think it was a week maybe after he was hired, he finally let go of Coach Johns. So that was when my last tie or connection there at Duke. I was just waiting to see. I mean, you know, Coach Johns, I wanted to play for him, and I wanted to stay if he was going to be there. And once they let go of him, that was kind of my last connection. I kind of heard out what Coach Diaz had to say, and the new quarterback coach, Coach Brewer, kind of heard out what they had to say. But I knew without Coach Johns, it wasn't going to be the same. So once I did that, I really opened up my recruitment again.
Yeah, you went through a very turmoil type of scenario as a recruit that, you know, all of a sudden everybody that you were in touch with is now gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and what your coach is, the coach that you, you know, basically made a commitment to, Coach Elko, is going to Texas A&M. Did he ever have any other connections or talks with you prior? Or, I mean, after he kind of taken that job?
No. Once he had left, I hadn't heard anything from him. It was just all through Coach Johns.
Okay. Well, as well, I can understand, like I said, with Kevin Johns, top notch guy. So now you make you make your decommitment from them in that time period. I think Coach Cignetti had just been announced as the head coach at Indiana. And talk about that. Who was the first person from his that staff to get in contact with you?
It was actually Coach Cignetti. He texted me right away. I think once he landed in Bloomington, he shot me a text right away. And I think that same night, Coach Tino Sunseri texted me as well. And we hopped on the phone that same night. So those were the first two.
Okay. How did that conversation go?
It was good. I mean, honestly, I didn't know anything about Coach Tino. And once he started telling me more about his background and working at Alabama with Mac Jones and Bryce Young and those guys, I mean, I was impressed right off the bat with that and what they had done at JMU. I just got done watching them have College Game Day at James Madison the week or two before, whenever that was. But I hadn't heard much about them. But once I started to hear a little bit more about their backstory, I was definitely starting to be impressed, and they left a great first impression on me.
And I'm assuming Mom was ecstatic that they left such a great impression on you.
Yeah, no, she was loving it.
And I mean, I'm not going to ask you, you know, like who else was involved or who offered you in that respect, because at this point, it's a mute point in that regard. But talk to me about what Coach Cignetti said to you and Tino and Coach Shanahan, the offensive coordinator, once you got to go down and meet them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would strike me as a guy that says, okay, what do you see? What's your vision for me at Indiana? And kind of talk about what that conversation was like.
Yeah, no, those coaches, what they sold me on was their development of quarterbacks. So between Coach Cignetti and Coach Tino and Coach Shanahan, Coach Cignetti's been around so many great guys like Phillip Rivers and some of those guys. It's crazy to see that I didn't even know about. Once they told me about that, I was impressed. Coach Tino at Alabama with Bryce and Mac, like I said before, just their development. Coach Tino and Coach Shanahan do such a good job with the offense, and they're going to put you in a position where they're going to put the guys around you that are going to help you succeed, and the quarterbacks, the one just back there distributing it to these guys. So they're going to play to your strengths and what you do best, and they're going to put you in good situations no matter what the down and distance is. You're going to be in a good position for success. So I think their quarterback history, their development is something that sold me on Indiana. Oh, I can't hear you.
I had my mute on. Sorry about that. Sometimes, there we go. All right. how many times have you been down to IU's campus through the years? I mean, you were probably pretty familiar with Bloomington itself and campus and things of that magnitude.
Yeah, I've been down quite a few times. I'd say over probably in the double digits of times. Okay. For basketball games, football games, just going down there for fun or for whatnot. Mm-hmm.
What do you think of the facilities that are there? I was assuming that you had a chance to kind of grow through those facilities over the years. Even when you were younger, you probably knew a little bit about, you know, the old and the new. Now, you know, what was your take on all that that's there from the standpoint of helping the player?
Yeah, no, everything you need is there for success. It's great. The layout is perfect. Everything in Memorial Stadium is great. You have all the facilities and everything you need to be a successful student athlete there at Indiana. At James Madison, they'd said they don't have the same amount of facilities and the output that they put there without that is crazy. So I think coming into a situation, a Power Five school, Indiana, playing in one of the best conferences in America with football and the facilities and the community and support that they're going to get from the administration and then the fan base is something that they'll be able to thrive in.
Now, you guys are being recruited in an era that's a little bit foreign to a lot of people in terms of NIL, the collectives, and, you know, in Indiana, you're not allowed as a high school player to basically have name, image, and likeness type of setup because it's against the law in Indiana for some reason. Don't ask me the particulars. I'm not a lawyer. But I know a lot of states have changed this component. But talk to me about that, NIL, collectives, and all that. And you know, in the recruiting component now, that is such a foreign thing for a lot of people. And even as someone like you, talk a little bit about that and kind of, you know, how that's, you know, changed the recruiting aspect that's going on right now.
Yeah, I think getting recruited, coaches can throw some numbers at you, but I wanted to pick my school off the people and the place that it is. I didn't want to be pushed in any certain way by any money at all. So I think making my decision the first time and the second time, both times, I'm just really looking into the people and where I'm going to be developed the most and just be able to play to my full potential in a program that's going to be successful.
Now with the NIL and the collectives, who is helping you, kind of work your way through all that? I mean, is it mom and dad, or do you have somebody that's helping guide you through that? Because it's so new to everybody.
Yeah, no, as of now, it's a lot of mom and dad. We like to keep our situation kind of more quiet and not putting it out there. But there's people that have offered to help. Coach Moore's got me in line with a couple people that are definitely willing to help, and I'm still deciding on someone to help me through it all. But as of now, just mom and dad.
Yeah, and that's the unique thing that is of right now, because, you know, you got to deal with this. I mean, it is a part of the game now for college football, and things are changing. The Big Ten's changing. I mean, you got four teams coming in from the West, and, you know, it's the 18-team team, I think, league now, the Big Ten is. So NIL, collectives, all these things for recruits and players nowadays, I can only imagine how overwhelming that can be in terms of even mom and dad, you know, because everything's flying at you, you know, 60 miles an hour, 100 miles an hour. And here you are just saying, I just want to get to school and get settled in and, you know, with the guys and let's go play some football and compete. Is that a fair assessment in terms of what's coming at you 90 miles an hour?
Yeah, no, 100%. I think it's just, I mean, now it's more than just football. It's kind of a business at this point. And I was just really focused in on wanting it to be football and leave the business stuff aside and make my decision based off of just the football aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tip my hat to you because you sound like you're a level-headed young man that, you know, understands that's a part of it. You've got to focus. You got the support of mom and dad like you've had for the last 18 years of your life, and they're going to be able to help you navigate that. My gosh, your mom graduated from the Kelley School of Business, so you can hire mom.
I'm hoping she's still willing to help even when I'm out of the house.
So now this has all changed. You've got a chance to meet Coach Sig. You've got a chance to talk to Tino and Shanahan. They've kind of given you a vision of what they like to do with the quarterback position, what they want to play. Did you come away from that visit saying, you know what, I want to be here?
Yeah, there was a point where Coach Tino, Coach Shanahan, and Coach Kuntz, the D-line coach, those three came to my school. I think it was the Monday after they got hired, the first day that they could come and visit. It was like the first day of the new recruiting period. And after talking with those guys, like I said, the first impression that they left on me, we sat down and chatted for probably an hour and 30 minutes, just talking through everything. And I think after that, just the first impression that they left, I mean, after that, I was feeling IU football is legit and this could be a serious contender for what my future holds. As of then, I was still committed to Duke at the time, but even with them and saying that, I was definitely interested in Indiana and going down and meeting Coach Sig, being on the phone with him multiple times and going down and listening to his vision and how he believes and just his confidence of the program is something that really I fell in love with and was sold on. So after my last visit there was for the IU basketball game versus Kansas, just talking with Coach Tino even more at the basketball game, just as a person, not as a coach, just getting to know him a little bit more. I think after that visit, I knew that that was going to be the place for me.
Yeah, there's always that moment that hits you, you know, yeah, right in the gut and it says, hey, yeah, this is where I want to be. Well, last thing here, the defensive coordinator, Brian Haynes, and you're going to be going against him in the spring and stuff like that. I actually gave him his first start. So if he's starting to blitz you too much in college football, just give me a text. I'll say, hey, Brian, let's lay off the blitzes on the young pup, would you?
Yeah, for sure.
Great staff. I think that's the one thing that impressed me about the staff that Coach Sig brought with him from James Madison. Relatability, smart football coaches, and the love for the game. I think those three things they wear on their sleeves, and that's what makes them relatable to recruits like you. And I really appreciate you coming on here today, Tyler. Wish you nothing but the best. You're walking into a very competitive quarterback room. You know, you got Alberto coming up from Miami. You got Taven, your former, you know, player with you at Center Grove. And then of course, Brock Lowry there. So, you know, you're going to have Curtis Rourke coming in from OU. You're going to have a fun spring of competition and that's what's going to make you better, irregardless of what all happens. But I'm sure your mindset is I want to go be the guy. So I wish you nothing but the best, young man.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate you having me on.
All right, Tyler. Well, I'm going to let you go. You have a great New Year's and get yourself ready to get down to Beantown and get ready to roll, buddy.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you. Happy New Year's to you as well. Thank you.
All righty. That was Tyler Cherry, Indiana quarterback commit for the Hoosiers 24 class, in with another great group of guys in that quarterback room, Taven Jackson, Brock Lowry, Curtis Rourke, the transfer from Ohio U, and then of course, Alberto Mendoza coming up from Christopher Columbus High School down in Miami, Florida. But it's going to be fun to watch these young men progress and grow in the Coach Cignetti's offense with Tino and Coach Shanahan. And, you know, I know that there's going to be a lot of excitement centered around the Indiana Hoosiers moving forward. It'll be a fun spring and hope everybody can get there when the practice is open to take it in. But want to appreciate it. Say again, thanks to Tyler for joining us here today. Remember, Bet Online, first deposit, welcome bonus. Use the promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, to get that 50% welcome bonus. Thanks to Bet Online for the sponsorship of the Hoosier Football Tailgate right here on the BLEAV Network. I'm the coach, Shannon Griffith. This has been the Hoosier Football Tailgate right here on the BLEAV Network. Happy New Year, everyone, and go Hoosiers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Jump into the world of Wildcrats at Philadelphia's Please Touch Museum. Explore the world of this PBS Kids series in the Wildcrats Creature Power Museum exhibit, opening May 31st. Discover animal habits from around the world as you swing through the trees like a spider monkey, sneak through the forest like a jaguar, hunt for lunch like a platypus, and much more in this adventurous new exhibit. Get tickets at pleasetouchmuseum.org. That's pleasetouchmuseum.org.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
It's hard not to add a side of hot, crispy hash browns to your favorite McDonald's breakfast. It's even harder not to eat said hash browns before you get home. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.